are in for a treat. Yes, I said y'all. Y'all are in for a treat today. My Oklahoma is showing, sorry. But this morning, we're going to continue our series called My Fave. And we've got a couple of veterans from our church family. Actually, they are like our veteran kids church team. You guys are going to get be blessed by some of the things they're going to share today. And so I've asked Patricia Little and Rebecca Calvin to share this morning. And Rebecca is the one that always ends up getting texts when I tell Siri to text Rebecca, my wife. She ends up getting texts from me all the time. So I changed her name. She's not Rebecca in my phone anymore. But so they're going to share with you today. And then as it works out, I'm actually going to get to share a little bit. And so the last couple weeks, we've done this format of three speakers at 7 minutes apiece. They're going to share their favorite verse of 2018 or a verse that's really stood out to them. And my hope is that as you hear from different folks, you're going to see, man, maybe the Lord is speaking something to you that he's also speaking to one of your brothers and sisters in our congregation. And so it's a great opportunity. I want to encourage you guys, open your ears. Ask God to speak to you as he will, as we open our ears and hearts. So in fact, can I just pray? I want to pray over these two ladies before they come forward. They're going to share one at a time. They're going to throw it down today. And so be ready. Got your seatbelts on and get ready. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, this morning, as our sisters get to share with us, we pray that you would speak to us. Lord, as you have encouraged them in their time in the word, as they have sought you, and given them a word to share today, Lord, we open our ears to hear, and we open our minds to understand what you want to speak to us through your word, which is living and active. And so, God, we thank you for this time. We pray that you'd speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So first up, I'm going to invite up Miss Patricia Little. Can we give her a round of applause? Thanks. I'll give you a microphone. No, you just got to speak loud. No, I'm just kidding. There you go.
As a former teacher, I could probably do that.
She probably could. All right.
Good morning. Don't you love the worship? You know, I just get so excited about it. God's word says that he inhabits the praises of his people, and I want to be here when he gets here. So if you got here late, come early next week. It's great. Anyway, so Pastor asked me about sharing a verse, and I went into my journal. Y'all have a journal, right? Y'all writing in that every day? Good for you. And I went back to March 2nd for Mark 9:23, the second part of that verse, and verse 24, which says, all things are possible for one who believes. This is where the man's child was probably an epileptic, and the apostles couldn't set him free. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Oh, I can relate to that so well. I believe in the work of the cross. I believe in who Jesus is. That's not in doubt. Hasn't been in doubt since the day I said, come into my heart. But where my faith wavers is in healing. Now, I'm doing this without my back brace on because sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. But this morning, I wanted to put on some nice pants because I'm going to be up here and I wanted to look good. And I wear a lot of those tight pants, the leggings, and I couldn't wear them to hurt my back. So I had to put my fat pants on. Thank God for fat pants. And because it's more important, I think, that I'm not in pain up here, but it highlighted the fact that I have this back pain. And I've been wanting God to heal me. Well, who wouldn't, right? And this verse really stood out to me because I don't have the kind of strong faith for healing that I once had. When my husband died, my faith for healing went out the window with him. And that was 10 years ago. You'd think I'd be over it by now. But it's still a struggle for me. So when I read this verse again, I did a little study on it. And the word that says, I believe, help my unbelief. That believe is a Greek word that means to have faith. So it fits in with what we're talking about. And what I see from this verse is that believing, having faith, has power to accomplish all things. But the Father needs a boost in his faith, and I need a boost. I need a boost in my faith. So I did a little research on faith. And I came up with The fact that Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith, that comes from Hebrews 12. So that's good, right? He is the author and perfecter or finisher of my faith. I like it. And then I came across this, and this kind of puts you all on the spot. It says that we are to, in Romans 1:12, it says we're to mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. So you can encourage me with your faith. You tell me stories and testimonies. That's going to build up my faith, and I need that. In 1 Thessalonians, it says that the apostles are speaking, Paul and his guys, that we may supply what is lacking in your faith. So you are an important part of helping me to have my faith to be built up. So I wanted to mention that to you in case you were wondering. Then, of course, it says in 1 Peter, faith is tested by fire, and I didn't like that one. I don't want the fire. But I understand that what that means is it's like the refining of the gold. The fire removes the dross, the impurities, and what's left. Apparently, when you're finished refining that gold, you can see your reflection in it. It becomes so beautiful. I would like that part. I'll take that part. So then I discovered that faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. So if God has given me this through his Holy Spirit, then there's no work that I can do to make my faith better or stronger or deeper. It's a gift. But I need it to be built up and strengthened. In Jude 1, it says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And I'm thinking, okay, so how am I going to build myself up? The next part of the verse says, pray in the Holy Spirit. And I realize that that's certainly something that I have been neglecting. When I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I received my spiritual language, I was praying in the Spirit all the time. And that went on for years and years and years. It was just something that I did every day. And I realized that I hadn't been doing that so much lately. So I took that as a reminder from God that I needed to be doing that more often. So I need you to encourage me with your stories and your faith stories, the things that God has done for you. You know, Pastor Brian prayed over me for my neck, and my neck is really doing great. I have to admit, though, I'm not sure if that's just because the back hurts so much. But it does feel better. The neck is definitely better. So I'm going to take that as a win. And just to finish up, because I don't believe that it's a coincidence, the day that I was doing this research, I went on Facebook, and there was a message from Pastor Jack Hayford, and it was entitled, Faith When You Can't See a Thing. Yeah, what a coincidence. How did he know I needed to hear that? You know who? That's about Bartimaeus. Remember, he's the guy that wrote that lyric, I once was blind and now I can see. And when I gleaned from this, his teaching, which was just, you know, it's Jack Hayford, what can I say? I need to see his presence in this situation, this back pain, and he will take me through it. Thank you. Despair.
Woo! 7 seconds. Thank you, Patricia. Next, we're going to welcome up Mrs. Rebecca Calvin, who's going to share with us a little bit about having faith when you don't see what's coming next. Come on up. I don't see what's coming next. I don't know what's going to come. We're going to find out. So welcome, Rebecca, will you?
I'm taking your 7 seconds. Good morning. I'm getting over a thing happening in my chest, so if I go into a coughing fit, you have to stop the timer. Because that doesn't count. Okay, so the verse that I wanted to share with you, I'm not one of those people that, you know, sometimes I knew as a church sometimes we would get a word for the year, and that would be exciting to me because I could never hold on to a verse very long. I'm more of like, oh, this sounds good, that sounds good, this sounds good. But this one verse, I think, is the only verse that has, I have consistently come back to it almost at a daily basis. Actually, Patricia, do you mind handing me my bag? I have a thing in there. And we were fortunate and blessed enough to go to a family camp. And we had already been in the car with the kids for like 4-5 days at that point, and so it felt like the kids were like in our, you know, like that alien creature in your face. And so when they said, there's a parent breakout, you can either attend, there's childcare, you know, David and I played hooky, and we went for a walk instead. And so we missed the teaching. But later on that evening, the pastor brought back the verse. And so I had no idea what context this teaching was in. So I had no idea who had said it or why they were saying it, but I knew that it was the word that I needed. It's 2 Chronicles 20:12, and it's actually the second part of it. For we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So it's up there. Thank you. The full verse says, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Wow, this touched me because that was that season where we just had so much stuff coming at us. And if you ever wondered what the meaning of life is, it's to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love each other and love your neighbors as yourself. So there, that's a freebie. But I knew that. But the problem is sometimes you are so rattled by the stuff that is happening that you forget to go back to that source. And that is me right there. 90% of the time, I don't know what I'm doing, but my eyes are on him. And so it spoke to me, and it kind of reminds me of, have you ever been in the ocean and, you know, the waves just kind of throw you? And for a split second, you don't know which side is up and which side is down. And I think that that's the place Satan wants to keep us at. And what we need to remember, what I remember with this verse is, I'm not going to stay in that washing machine. I'm going to pop out of that as soon as I can and find God and put my eyes on him. And everything else that comes after that, he's going to deal with. I really, really, really encourage you to go and read this story. And the person that's saying this is Jehoshaphat. So I'm going old school. I'm going back to the Old Testament. And we just covered this a couple of months ago with the Bible reading that we're doing. But basically, there had been a lot of bad kings, but he brought the people of Judah back to the Lord. And one of the things that he had said is that he not just brought them. In verse 13, he says, meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. This was a call. He brought everybody back. He brought the priesthood back. And that didn't mean that then he wasn't going to face any trials. Actually, three ginormous, gigantic armies are now coming against Judah, the Syrians being one of them. And that's when this prayer goes out. Even though he had fortified cities, even though he had soldiers ready, this army was so huge, so ginormous, that he cried out. And that to me is both my prayer, because I do battle daily, and I know that you do too. So one of the things that I've done is, mom, my stuff falling out, is put it up where I do battle. And for us, that's our schoolroom. And so my encouragement to you is, you know, write out your verse. Take any verses and just put them anywhere. Post-its. If you're not a visual person, put those, you know, listen to wherever you're at. I don't know where you're doing battle. Whether you're doing battle at work, whether you have a job, a boss that's not, that's asking you to do things that you shouldn't be doing. I don't know if you're doing battle with kids and if you're in a schoolroom, wherever you are. My encouragement to you is to just take some of these verses that people are sharing and make them your own. This is just fun. It's fun, isn't it? And if you're a guy, you don't have to put the butterflies. I know for David, he's not a visual person, but he puts those headphones in and he'll listen to sermons back to back, especially when he's working with clients that don't appreciate having verses out. But so I just wanted to share that with you. The other thing that I want to share before I go is, have you ever been in a movie theater and you go in first to save seats? And then you're waiting for the other person to come join you, and they're kind of looking around, and you're standing there going, just look at me, just look at me, you know, just look up. That's what the Lord reminded of me of this last night as I was preparing. See, our eyes have to go to him, but only because he's already looking at us. And he's just standing there waiting for you to look up. He's standing there waving his hand, going, I'm right here, tag, you know, like wrestling, where you're like, tag me in, let me take these guys out. And we're walking around going, I'm so lost, I'm so lost. when we really need to just stop and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know he does, and put my eyes on him, because he's already looking at us. He's already standing there going, just tag me in. The battle is mine. So I'm not going to tell you how this ends. I'm not going to tell you how Jehoshaphat, because if you thought Jericho with the walls falling down was pretty awesome, it is nothing compared to what happens with these three armies. So I'm going to challenge you. Go home, read up on it, get excited about it, because it just touched my heart, because I know the battle is not mine. It's not a flesh and blood. It's the Lord. And all I have to do is go and tag him in. So I think I'm done.
Woo! Give a round of applause. Thank you, Rebecca. All right. Well, this morning, I had another plan, and God had a different one in mind. And so this morning, you get to hear from me again. I shared a couple weeks ago my favorite verse of 2018. And so when the Lord opened this opportunity for me to share again, I said, well, all right, God, what do you want to share? And the Lord reminded me of something that he spoke to me just this week. And I just want to encourage you guys to get into the Word. As I know Rebecca and Patricia both shared, get into God's Word. Ask him to speak to you. Because this is a word I believe the Lord wants to share with you today. I hadn't planned it. Don't you know that sometimes God's plan, he interrupts our plans? He's got something different in mind. And so I want to share with you something that God spoke to me from my devotional time this past week. As I've been asking God, as I do every day, Lord, would you help me to do that? Many of you guys remember a couple weeks ago, I shared my verse of the year was from Psalm 1:1 about putting deep roots down so that we can thrive no matter what's going on. And part of that process for me is opening up God's Word and tapping into it. And this week, the Lord reminded me of this very simple phrase, that God's perfect peace is discovered when I will fully fix my mind on him. And as I started jotting down my notes, and then I got Rebecca's notes, and I got Patricia's notes, I was like, okay, Lord, this is what you're wanting to share with us today. And perhaps you're like me, and your eyes have a tendency to get focused on the wrong things. Things could be going well, but there's a fire that pops up in your life, and all of a sudden it takes your full attention. Does that happen to you, or is it just me? Am I the only one? Like, something happens in our workplace, something happens at home, something happens with our kids or other people in our lives, and man, the fires come and they just take over everything. It's all we can see. It might be relational fires. It could be relationships that are going sideways that we're like, I got to focus all my attention on those things. It could be something at work, as I shared. You know, things are going great on Sunday. On Sunday morning, I fix my eyes on Jesus, right? I come into worship and I raise my hands and I look towards heaven, and then Monday comes and then all of a sudden the fires take over and my focus drifts. All of a sudden God is just a distant memory of Sunday and my fires are all I see. It could be family drama, whether it's something in your household or something in your immediate family. But really it doesn't matter, because so very often our eyes get focused on things that take us away from doing just what Rebecca was saying. God, I don't know where I'm going, but I fix my eyes on him. And so this morning, the Lord reminded me of this truth. And it comes from Isaiah. We're going to old school again. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. By the way, I shared this verse with my wife last night, and she said she had it memorized, so she put me to shame. So I'm going to memorize it because she's got it down. But it says this, Isaiah 26, 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And here is the secret that's really no secret at all. God wants you to experience his peace. He does. He wants you to experience not just peace, but his perfect peace. That's what he wants, he desires for you. And I think we all desire peace, don't we? We want to see peace in our city. We don't want to see war breaking out, you know, across town. We want to see peace in our households, right? We don't want to see division and things happening in our households. We want to see peace in our world, don't we? I think many of us, we rejoice when we see things of peace coming up around the world. World peace, right? We all desire those things. But the sort of peace that God offers is not just the absence of war. Because sometimes when we say we want peace, what do we mean? We don't want there to be fighting anymore, right? And that's good. That's a good desire, that we don't want to see people hurting each other and battling each other. But what God offers us is his perfect peace. Say perfect peace. God wants perfect peace for us. And this scripture is clear. There is only one way to receive his perfect peace, and that's to keep our minds stayed on him, to fix our minds on him. Because God offers not just the absence of war, but his perfect peace. It's like this. Maybe you're like me. I get in the car. Maybe you're like this. I get in the car and I turn on the radio. And it never fails. When I get in the car and I turn on the radio, the best song in the world is on, right? My favorite song. And it's only like 10 seconds left, right? It's like it drives me crazy. And I'm like, yeah, and I turn up the music. And then I drive 10 feet and all of a sudden, what happens? A commercial comes on, right? Or the DJ starts talking. I don't want to listen to that guy. Or something else comes on, a bad song that I hate. And so what do? I flip the channel, right? And then I flip the channel. I flip the channel. And then I flip the channel. And then I flip the channel. And my kids are never going to understand this. You guys are, older, mature. You guys remember this, right? Back in the day, you had to flip the dial, and then we got the remote. And my kids will never understand this, because I wanted to watch them on TV. I just flip. And I just had it down. I just push the button. And it goes so fast. Oh, go back. I want to watch that one, right? And you just keep flipping the channel. And this morning, actually this week, as the Lord put this on my heart, I was reminded of this truth that what God is saying is you got to stop flipping the channel. It's so easy to get distracted. You got to stop flipping the channel. You got to tune in to what God is speaking to him. Fix our minds on him. And what I believe the Lord would speak to you this morning is what he reminded me of this week is that he wants us to stop flipping the channel and tune in, to stay our minds on him. Because perfect peace is discovered when I will fix my mind fully on him. And as I meditated and thought about that, the Lord reminded me of another scripture, as he often does, from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, that says, do not be anxious about anything. In fact, say those words with me. Do not be anxious about anything. Not work, not drama at home, not the fires that are taking place around me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the promise. If we'll do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, there are always going to be fires and emergencies, things in this world that'll cause us to get anxious. Woo, I'm almost out of time. I'll wrap up. But we're encouraged, don't be anxious. To kind of conclude and bring it back home, as Patricia shared, sometimes we feel like we don't have enough faith. We don't feel like we have enough of what it takes to get through the season that we're in. And it's in those moments we have to just stop and say, God, would you give me a little bit more faith? I believe. I put my trust in you, Jesus, but would you help me in the areas where I'm not trusting you fully? Or as Rebecca shared, we might not know what to do next in our seasons. We might find ourselves facing an impending army, right? I love that visual because I feel that way sometimes. Rebecca's got lots of kids, like I have lots of kids, and I got five boys, and I see that army, that great, what did you say, the horde coming towards me? I feel that way. Lord, I don't know what to do, but God, I need you. My eyes are on you. Sometimes we need to just pause in the moments, say, God, I don't know what's next, but my eyes are on you. See, we have the answer. We don't have the answer, but we know the one who does, don't we? And our God knows the answer. In all things, with prayer, looking to God, we stay our minds on him. His perfect peace is discovered when we fix our eyes on him. Church, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to respond to the Lord. I believe the Lord reminded us of some things today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is living and active, that was spoken to us this morning. And God, we thank you for the encouraging words that you've put on your servants' hearts this morning. Lord, this morning we ask you to continually stir up those things, those seeds of faith that were deposited into our souls this morning. Allow them to bear fruit in our lives. Perhaps like Patricia, you're here this morning and God is reminding you of the simple fact that though you do have some faith, God wants to help you to have more faith. Maybe you've been able to trust and believe God for something in your life in the past, but now you're saying, God, I need a little bit more faith. Maybe you're like the man recorded in the Gospels. You have faith, but you say, God, I just need more faith. Let me pray for you if that's you here. Father, I pray that you'd help us to have more faith. God, where we trust you for our salvation, we trust you for those things. Sometimes we find ourselves in need that we don't know how to solve. Lord, just like the man recorded in the Bible, we say, Lord, we believe, but would you help us in our unbelief? God, would you use our brothers and sisters in this room and in our community groups and our lives to impart faith in us, to encourage us with their faith? God, as we come to your word, would you speak to us and give us new measures of faith as we trust in you? We thank you, Lord, for that word, and we say, Lord, give us more faith. Perhaps like Rebecca shared, maybe you're here and you're stuck. You're facing an impossible thing. You say, God, I don't know what's next, but I know you do. Maybe you're reminded today that you've got to fix your eyes on God. He's just waiting for you to look up at him, to look up and see that he's been watching you the whole time. But sometimes we forget it. So maybe this morning was just a simple reminder to look up. You don't know what's next. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Father, we ask you for wisdom today. Lord, for our impossible situations where we face hordes of soldiers coming against us, and maybe it's not physically that way, but that's how it feels. Lord, where we face situations that are too big, we say, Lord, we don't know what's next, but we fix our eyes on you. We look to you, God, knowing that you're looking at us already. Or perhaps this morning, God was stirring your heart, reminding you that he wants you to experience his perfect peace. Maybe you don't live with conflict, but you don't live with peace either. God wants you to experience his perfect peace. And we do that by staying our minds, fixing our thoughts on God himself. So, Father, we ask you to help us to do that. Help us to stop flipping the channels long enough to tune in to what you want us to experience, to fix our eyes on you, to look to you this week. God, we ask for your peace, not just your peace, but what the word declares is your perfect peace. Help us to experience your peace today. Finally, with every eye closed and head still bowed in this place, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made that commitment to following Jesus. You've never received Jesus' free gift of grace and mercy for your sins. Just as Rebecca shared, today is your day, with every other head bowed and eye closed, today's your day to look up and realize that God is looking down at you already. He's looking for you to look up. Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing here on earth about him. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that. If you've never said yes to Jesus' free gift of grace, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you say yes to Jesus today? Would you look up today? If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand and look up at me? I can agree with you in prayer. I won't ask you to do anything strange or weird, but if that's you, would you look up? Yes, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else within the sound of my voice, you say, today, that's my day to look up, to say yes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, would you repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Would you repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God.
I know that you are the Son of God.
I thank you for dying on the cross.
I thank you for dying on the cross.
In my place for my sins.
In my place for my sins.
I ask you to forgive my sins.
I ask you to forgive my sins.
And give me a new life.
And give me a new life.
I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior.
To be my Lord and Savior.
I want to walk with you, Jesus.
I want to walk with you, Jesus.
All the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning, church?